Hey there, Omaha. Welcome into another episode of Restaurant Hoppin'. I've got a fantastic guest for you today, but real quick, before we get to them, I have to tell you about Certified Piedmontese, because this is a brand I am so excited about. In fact, I will never forget the first time I had Certified Piedmontese. The crown jewel of my initial visit to Casa Bovina was a beautiful rib cap that was so lean and tender, it was almost silky in texture. The moment that beef hit my taste buds, I was hooked. These animals are raised all natural on a network of family ranches across the Midwest, so Certified Piedmontese is able to cut out the middleman and buy directly from the source. And while I highly encourage you to check out Casa Bovina, you can savor this beef at home, too. Whether you order off Piedmontese.com or by calling 1-800-414-3487, your purchase will be shipped directly to your front door. Plus, when you use my discount code HOPPEN, H-O-P-P-E-N, you get 25% off your order. How can you beat that? So what are you waiting for? Get some steaks, burgers, bacon, or other meats and experience the Certified Piedmontese difference for yourself today. And now to my guest. Hey there, Omaha. Welcome into another episode of Restaurant Hoppin'. I'm your host, Dan Hoppin', and there are few things in life that give me more joy than experiencing and discovering a new local restaurant, especially ones that fly a little bit under the radar and don't get talked about as much. And when someone told me that there was a restaurant in Omaha that was serving incredible Armenian food, I was like, yes, I need to try this. And the man seated next to me absolutely blew my mind with my opening meal there. My guest today is Arthur Lalikian. He's the owner of Omaha Kebabs, a place that I fell in love with from the very first bite that I had, and a place that I can't wait to introduce you to and tell you more about. Arthur, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks for having me.
So first, I think we need to introduce people to Armenian cuisine, because people might hear that and they're intrigued, but they don't know exactly what it is. And from my understanding, Armenian cuisine, it shares some influences with Mediterranean, Middle Eastern food, but it also has its own distinct personality.
Yes, it does, because the way we cook Armenian style, it's like getting the fresh meats, cut it up, marinate, use like a bigger skewers, and cook it over the charcoal or on a gas stove on a high heat. And then we don't use a lot of Middle Eastern spices. Our primary seasoning is going to be like a salt, black pepper, paprika. And we use a lot of onions and stuff for marinating the meats versus like using like a 7 spices, cinnamon and stuff like that that they use in Middle Eastern cuisine. And we're kind of a different in a way versus Mediterranean and Middle Eastern. We're kind of in between. So we don't go extreme flavors sometimes, flavor profiles. Like you might have turmeric and you have cloves and cinnamon in the food. We don't have that. So we want to keep it as more natural, close to the existing animal protein in existence than putting it like an extra touch of certain spices that kind of throw the beef or meat flavor away. So
you let the meat speak for itself.
Pretty much that's the whole idea. Sometimes when I do at home, what we do, like if it's a really nice cut of a meat, the only thing we put on it is salt. And it goes right, you just cut the meat, put it on a skewer, throw in a little bit of salt on it, and just put it on a charcoal grill, and that's it.
Now, I want to make it very clear. I love that you're talking about using simple seasonings and not, you know, injecting too much outside flavor into something. That does not mean your food is at all simple. Like, it is packed with flavor. You get great caramelization and char on the outside. It's just wonderfully juicy. So I just want to make that clear to anyone watching or listening.
I always say, like, it's not complicated. I mean, because I know how to cook, honestly. And it's like, for me, like, cooking doesn't even, it comes really naturally, so I don't even think about when I cook something. Mm-hmm. I might cook like 3-course dinner and I go like, nah, it was just like 2 minutes like microwaving something. Because I do say that a lot and people go like, okay, it's complicated. I go, no, it wasn't. It was like chop this, chop that, and just put everything together, throw it in the oven and it's done. You know, like takes 30 minutes, you're done. They go like, no, that's complicated. But I go, no, you know, like I'm kind of a hard-headed when it comes to getting kind of a compliment. And I always say, like, yeah, it's easy. Just a couple of simple stuff you put in and you get it done. But yeah, there is very actually the combination that I use. It has to be just precise. The combination of black pepper, salt, paprika, and other little bit of other seasonings that I put in. Everything has to be like a precise level for amount of pounds of meat you cook. If you put something a little bit more than another one, it's just going to give you totally different flavors.
Really?
So yeah, it's just like you can't. Some of like my ground beef, it's one of the hardest thing. It's not a hard thing to make. Anybody can get a ground beef and put salt and pepper on it and just... But the amount of each seasoning you have to put to proportionate to the meat, that's the secret of that. And some cooks in Armenia just takes maybe the lifetime to perfect it. And whoever gets the recipe, they never share it. And they either share it to their kids or they take it to the grave. It's kind of a bragging right for some people to like, oh, I got the best, let's say, ground beef kebabs in town. Because that's our kind of a fast food. Inside of the roads, you go in and there's like a big, like a huge, like a charcoal grill. People standing there with the metal skewers. They put the meat on it, put it on the grill. Then, you know, the lavash bread, which is Armenian bread.
Amazing.
And they have a freshly baked one sitting in there. Just put the meat in there, put some onions on top of it, wrap it up. And that's your like a taco burrito type of thing on the side of the road.
Man, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, that's how it is. And those are the stuff I'm kind of... Took me a while to get my recipe in place of the ground beef. And that's why I'm kind of proud of that thing. And any other seasonings. I'm not afraid using seasonings. But the way it is, you have to make sure every single spice communicates to each other perfectly. Otherwise, it's like... Just take the whole thing and dump it in the trash. That's what I do. I have so many like trials and errors. I might get a nice piece of sirloin or a steak and I cook it. I have a bite of it. I don't like it. I don't let anybody eat it either. And I have that issue. People are like, yeah, I like it. I can eat it. I'm like, nope, nobody's eating this. I don't like it.
You're a perfectionist.
In a way, yeah. You can say that. Yeah, I just like that part. You know, like I like to create stuff. So it makes really fun making recipes. And I do like to do over top myself. If I created something and let's say everybody loves it, I'm just more concerned about if I like it enough for everybody else to like it. So because some people like, okay, they grew up eating like a very basic food. So for them, like something simple I cook, I might be like, oh, wow, this is really good. But I want to impress the people that actually understand food, that they're into food, and then I get a response like, you came into my restaurant and the response you gave it to me, that was meant a lot for me.
It was incredible.
Because I was like, wow, now I'm in the right track, you know, doing something right. So that was giving me a lot of pleasure getting your comments on my, on the Facebook, and, you know, make me feel really alive. Because I knew, like, okay, I did something right. That means if he likes it and he knows food, you know, it goes all over the places and it's a lot of different stuff and you appreciate the food. So that was kind of nice feeling to get. And that's pretty much sums up who I am about the food scene.
Well, that's awesome, man. Thank you for the kind words. Man. And I mean, you deserved everything that I said in my review. I have not had meats very many places in the city that are as flavorful and as juicy as yours. In fact, I went to a steakhouse recently, and a well-known steakhouse, and had a steak that was not nearly as good as anything I had at your place. So I won't name that place. Don't need to go there.
Yeah.
But I want to touch on the seasoning bit a little bit more. Real quick first, if somebody's listening to this and they're like, Omaha Kebab sounds awesome. Where is this place? Right off 120th and Blondo, in that little shopping district there. You can't miss it. Get over there. It's really awesome. So you talked about with the seasoning blend, it has to be so precise. And it's just got to be just the right amount of black pepper and salt and paprika and a couple other spices.
And there's a couple other stuff in there too. It's just like, I'm not saying it's very basic, but it's not like... let's say 40 ingredients type of food. It's just like very basic. Everybody usually have those stuff in their kitchen cabinets.
Right.
But you have to know the balance of it.
So you said people either inherit that from their parents or they spend years, sometimes a lifetime, developing that themselves. So where did you get your seasoning mix?
Just trial and error.
How long?
Just watching other people, like in Armenian families, there's a lot of women cook. So, and most of them, they can be like chefs. Let's put it that way. Because everybody's like, grew up, the husbands usually don't go out to eat because they love their wives cooking most of the time. And they, you know, there's most of them like staying home moms, and then they watch the kids and they cook for their husbands. And then when you visit your friends' families and you see somebody cook something and you eat it and you go like, this is an interesting spice, you know, like, what did she put in there? And you start getting into conversations. And then another household, they go like, you eat the same food, and they all of a sudden they put a little bit of basil in it. I go like, wow, this is impressive. You know, like, let's say my aunt, you know, the tolmas, the grape leaves, stuffed grape leaves with meat.
Oh, I love those.
So I make really good one. It's really hard to make it for a restaurant situation. I mean, you have to have a lot of, like, I eat like 10, 12 of them one sitting, and it's like really good. But it's for a customers, you have to have a crew of like 5 or 6 and sitting and wrapping that
just
thing all day.
Those, yeah.
Yeah, it's very difficult to do, but like, that's the only food I don't eat anybody else's house. There are certain people in my family that I eat that grape leaves, like my mom's house, my sister's house, and pretty much those are the only people's house I
They've ruined dolmas for you, for everyone
no,
else?
No, it's just
so
like,
good.
I cannot like put myself to eat it.
Yeah.
Because it has to be cooked a certain way. Some people put a lot of water to boil it, and some people just keep it very little, so like steam it. I like it more like steamed version. So anyway, the story was everybody in that particular, in our community, everybody cooks in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are afraid of spices, so they put only salt and black pepper, and some put some little bit of herbs. My aunt used to put a basil and some savory in the meat combination. And for me, that was a killer combination. So then I discovered the savory, how good it is with a certain type of meats and how much to put in there. And that's how I kind of developed. And I started using the certain seasoning, and people go like, oh, don't do it, it's going to ruin it. And I did it, and they were like, wow, that was impressive. You know. And that's how I got my start experimenting with seasonings. And I, every day in the kitchen, even in the restaurants, I cook for my employees. Every day for lunch, I go in and I buy something unique, and I just bring it for a trial, just cook everything for them, you know, like, they're eating really good, so.
I was going to say, I might start come working for you. Can I put an application in?
Definitely.
You're cooking lunch for me every day. You don't even have to pay me. I'm just coming for that.
You can just come for lunchtime, yeah.
So, I want to focus on the menu a little bit. You serve more than kebabs, but obviously, it's in the name. Kebabs are the star of the menu.
Yes,
so, as you're conceptualizing this restaurant, what was it about kebabs that made you say, this is what's going to be front and center for us?
So the thing is, this is our traditional cooking methods. Fire, skewers, and any type of meat. Anything we can get our hands on, it's more exotic, more better. Like I did alligator like other day.
Whoa,
for us
really?
To eat. I bet you if I cook an alligator, if I can get my hands on like for a decent price, it's like 10 times better than chicken breast.
Wow.
It was so good. I was so impressed how delicious it was. But the main concept is like people think it's a kebab's going to be like a wood sticks, vegetables, and piece of meats, and, you know, like short, going on a oven, coming out. And I had people asking, can I have a like 4 kebabs, one of which? I go like, you're not going to be able to eat it. You know, that's
you're going to leave in a coma if you have 4 of those.
Yeah, ours doesn't work. We don't put our kebabs on a piece of wood and just put them in an oven and take it out and just let it sit in a warmer and just serve it. No. Every piece of meat gets processed in the mornings, day before. I season it. Like, it can be pork belly, pork loin. We have a beef tenderloin, lamb chops, which is I get the premium New Zealand one. And we get chicken. We cut everything for like a certain sizes, and we season them and keep them in the refrigerator. And then every morning we skew all the meats on a big, like I have a 24-inch skewers.
Yeah, when he's talking about skewers, these things are like swords.
Like swords.
Yeah, yeah, they're no joke.
Yeah, if you see somebody walks in a park, and if you see an Armenian having a picnic in a park in LA, I'm from Los Angeles, so I just moved here 3 years ago. So if you go into first when Armenians start moving into, it's in a story like in a Pasadena, Glendale area in early 80s, and every Armenian household has to have those skewers. And sometimes in the beginning, people didn't know who these Armenians were coming in. And they go to picnics and there's this guy carrying like a 20 swords like in his hands. But he's walking to the grill to skew the meat for his family, you know. And that was the funny things. And some people, the police was called on some of them, what they're doing here. But, you know, eventually, but that's our technique. Just cut the pieces of the meat, put it on a skewer. Similar like Brazilian barbecue.
Mm.
It's the same kind of concept type of thing. You get the fresh meat out of the grill into your plate. And I'm very like on top of the thing in the kitchen. So as soon as the meat comes out, that's the best part, time to eat it. And my cooked meat doesn't sit on heaters or anything. You order the food, it cooks literally as soon as it comes out on a plate. Under the minute, it's on the table. So you enjoy literally if you cook yourself near the grill, it will be the same time amount of wait time that you kind of how to put this the right way, just pretty much you just get the hot food instantly.
Mm-hmm.
There's no warmers, there's nothing. The only thing we just keep it warm is the rice because you cannot cook it for instant per customer.
Yeah.
And the rest of the stuff, even salads, even the dressings, everything is, we just make it in-house for our salads. So everything is from scratch, literally, in our kitchen.
Now, this grill that we're talking about, it's pretty hot, right?
Yeah, it's about 240,000 BTUs.
So when you're talking, so these skewers are over, and I've seen videos of this, so I'm really curious. I mean, you have to watch those meats pretty meticulously, right?
Because yes, like
if you get distracted for a couple seconds, it can burn quickly.
Especially if you're cooking pork belly, somebody has to be assigned to the skewer. And you have to keep moving it around. That thing like flames up like a
just because it's so fatty?
Gasoline, yeah.
Yeah.
Because as soon as it drops it, because the bottom, the grill, it's a special shish kebab grill that I got. And this one is like a Bentley of the kebab grills.
A Bentley of the kebab grills.
If you go to LA, ask what's the best the grill, this is the one they say. They say this is the Bentley of the kebab grills. Because of the heat, the plates are very thick.
Mm-hmm.
Each bar is like 25 pounds that sits on top of the flame. And that thick metal gets so hot. And I have a laser thermometer, sometimes goes up to 780 degrees.
Oh, wow.
Literally, when it gets hot after 10 minutes of operations, you cannot put your hands to try to see how hot it is. It's just like,
jeez.
And that's the secret. And the skewers itself, it's a heavy-duty, thick metal. So when you put the meat on it and it put it on the grill, the skewer itself gets very hot. So it starts cooking through the meat inside of it.
Oh,
and then
okay.
You got the heat from outside. So imagine you're getting the temperature going into the meat, high heat, both sides of the at the same time. So from through inside and from outside. So that's why it sears all, just instantly sears the meat, leaves all the juices inside. And also the seasoning has a lot to do with it, the way you marinate it, but the way the high temperature cooking and even the size of the meat you cut, it has a lot to do how juicy the meat's got to be. So I'm giving too many secrets away, but you know, I don't care.
I love it. And I mean, that explains so much because I was so fascinated. Even things like, you know, the ground beef, the beef tenderloin, these are things that I was not expecting to be super juicy. The chicken was just like ridiculous. I mean, it almost like you bite into it, it almost like squirts. It's so juicy. Like that was probably my number one impression is just these meats, they have so much flavor, but also just so much to them.
Yeah. That's, because it's been cooked to really high heat in a really short time.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't sit in the barbecue for like a 10 hours until kind of, you know,
mm-hmm.
kind of kills it. You know, you can't put the chicken breast in the barbecue and just cook it. But in our restaurant, chicken is like very juicy. And it's number one seller right now. Like a lot of people, yesterday I sold a ton of chicken, but you know, it's just the marinade also. The cooking style, marinade, size of it. There's so many variants. That's what I was talking about it. It's not only, it looks very easy. Just take a piece of meat, put it on a skewer, put it on the grill, cook it. No, it is like that. But by the time you end up getting it the right way, those are the ones you need to have a kind of years of experience doing this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been cooking since, and every Armenian family, the guys have to know how to make barbecue. Because if there's a special events coming, this is the guy's job to do it. Women don't touch the barbecue grill, you know, like they do all the salads and stuff inside of the house, and man has to be around the charcoal grill outside doing this work. So, and when your dad and your uncles, you got the small kid around them, like 6, 7 years old, they go like, go tend to the barbecue grill, and you go and start skewering the meat and watching how it cooks. So every kid has an experience from very young age, and everybody's like really nosy to go into it and try to cook it themselves. So everybody has a knowledge of how to do it. And sometimes like people like me that I really like into it, very depth of it, I just want to go inside and hands-on do it. So I was in charge all the time since like 5, 6 years old.
Since you were 6 years old?
Yeah, it's normal in Armenia to do that, to watch those stuff, to do, yeah, to touch the barbecue grill. That's kind of dad's pride. You know, my son is doing it, you know, like cooking it.
So what was it about, because, you know, like you said, you took kind of a special liking to it. What was it about working that barbecue that really attracted you and made you say, man, I want to learn more about this. This is really cool.
I mean, if you stand next to those barbecue grills and you just smell the food. In Armenia, let's say you're driving in through a neighborhood and you have your car window rolled down and the smell comes in your car, automatically, it doesn't matter from which part of the world you're from, automatically you put your head towards the direction of the wind and they go, where's this smell coming from?
Yeah.
It's like literally like in the cartoons when a wolf smells something and just flies in the air and it just goes in and you just like find the barbecue space. That's what attracts. The smell of the barbecue is so awesome, overwhelming, that you just kind of lose yourself. And who doesn't like to eat? I mean, hot food off of the grill, you know, like. And also the barbecues are traditionally for like if you have birthdays or happy events. And this type of food, the kebabs, grill comes out in that particular times. So it's not like everyday celebrations. So it always reminds you for good stuff, so. And I always like to enjoy like company of people coming in, eating and drinking, having fun. You know, it's always a nice thing. And also the chef always gets the praise and chef always gets the best piece. So
those two things never hurt.
Yeah. So if you learn fast, you eat the best piece of meat off of the skewer. When you're pulling it, let's say when you're done cooking it, then you know which piece is the best piece and you just grab that particular piece.
Wise man.
Yeah, so.
So you started doing this at 5, 6, 7 years old. Yeah. Who taught you?
Usually my uncle.
Yeah?
My uncle was doing it and just watching it. And I'm really like a hands-on type of guy. Anything I watch, I can catch it really fast and learn. So food was kind of like, since I was a kid, that was my passion. So I just like, I could tell that 3 years old, I could tell the difference between parsley and cilantro.
I still can't do that. Yeah. So that's impressive.
And the funny story, we were in like a small vacationing in a small Russian village. And there was like, my mom used to make soups and required like parsley for a soup. And the markets didn't sell parsley. And me and my sister were playing in one kindergarten yard. And I was just walking around with her and I just noticed parsley on the floor. So I picked some parsley up and then kids start chasing me, that's their parsley. And then I was like 3 years old, got a handful of parsley running through the neighborhood. Came home and I go like, Mom, I found parsley, you know, like.
So you're just a cooking savant. You just got this in your, running through your veins somehow.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. It just, for me, it just comes very natural cooking. Anything you just put in front of me, I'll cook. I mean, I can cook pretty much And I cooked from Asian food to sushi to Mexican to Colombian. My wife's Colombian, so I start cooking a little bit of Colombian food. Any Asian food pretty much in the world, I just, if I see it, I want to make it, and I kind of do my own touches. So I love to cook, so I don't know what else to say. No?
That plays perfectly into something I wanted to ask you about, because I saw another interview that you did a couple years ago. I think it was when Oman Kebabs was opening, and you said, everything I cook, I put my style on it. Yeah. I don't follow any rules or regulations. I'm not that type of guy.
Yeah.
What did you mean by that, and like, how would you define your style of cooking?
See, like, people say, like, okay, this is traditional way of cooking. It has to be salt, pepper, and garlic powder. That's it, right? And that's it. That's the only thing you have to put in there. And I go, no, I might add a little bit of extra this spice or a little bit of that spice. And I might enhance it a little bit and just give you the same flavor that you were looking for plus wow factor on top of it. So I just don't like when even, like, if you go to Japan and ask you eating a California roll, putting a cream cheese inside of a roll, they're going to say, like, oh, okay, that's not happening in Japan. Nobody's putting cream cheese in a sushi roll, right? But somebody in California ended up doing it. So somebody thought outside of the box when they put cream cheese and then put different other stuff in the jalapenos inside, and they're making different rolls. And then that's kind of a thing, outside of box thinking. I like to... Food is there. It's a simple food, simple ingredients for, available to everybody in the world. So you just pick it up, whatever you like, and try to put your touch on it and create something better. It might be worse, but if you don't try it, you won't know. So I don't like to be in a safe way, you know, like, oh, this is the only way it has to go in, and you just, like, keep continuing the same routine everybody else does. No, I just want to try it. I might be wrong, then I learn from my mistakes, then I try a different way until I've... And if I might be the both ways you go and you don't find any other solution, then you go like, yeah, they're right.
They did it right, yeah.
Yeah. But I want to adventure out of the comfort zone anything I cook. So that's why I don't follow rules. I don't follow the people say, oh, this has to be exactly this way. If I did until now, I wouldn't even open up my restaurant because it would have been too boring for me. Food is the exciting part that you can create stuff. You don't want to be stuck doing the same thing. Like, let's say if I run a business, I'm only doing like a French fries and a chicken nuggets, reaching to the oven, I'm in freezer, take out the fries, throw it in the fryer and the chicken nuggets, and this is all you do. I wouldn't even open up a restaurant because that's not about me. I might take that chicken nuggets and chop up something else, put another topping on it, then deep fry it. I don't know what I'll do, but when it comes to that, I'll start thinking what else to do. You know, like that. Those are, it makes me alive and be in the kitchen. I started the restaurant not because I want to make money in a restaurant business, especially in pandemic, which was the stupidest thing I could ever done. Opening up a restaurant during like 2021 when Omicron hit in. It's going to be about 3 years since I got the place. It was just my passion. I had to do it. It was in my bucket list. I had to open up this restaurant, and I had to try it. And I have to prove myself that I can do it. This was my dream since I've been in the United States since 1990. This was in back of my mind. Not in back of, in front of my mind. But, you know, sometimes the economy takes a lot to open up a restaurant. It's not like just drop everything you're doing and open up a restaurant and have a customers walk in through the door and you're going to be able to feed your family. And it doesn't happen. So it was on the back burner for years until COVID hit and I was able to kind of, because everybody got locked out, nobody's working, and I had a chance to follow my dream and do it. And I moved to Nebraska just for that particular reason, to open up a restaurant.
You moved to Omaha, Nebraska to open an Armenian restaurant. What brought you to Omaha?
My wife's family was here.
Okay.
So, and I was in the service business. For 20-something years, I was doing electronics work, audio work. I could set up like the old studio there. I can make a custom audio, home theaters, and all that stuff. So when they shut down California and... none of the people wanted us to go to their houses to service their sound systems. So I knew this is going to continue for a long time, and I felt that it's coming. the wave of crush is coming. And I go like, nah, it's not going to happen. And I've been back in Omaha many years, back and forth. And I love the people. I love the environment. I felt free here, you know, like. And I go like, you know what, let's pack up and let's go to Nebraska. It took me about 30 days to sell my house and to move to Nebraska.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Wow.
Over the Memorial Day weekend, I decided I want to come and see Nebraska. I came in. I bought a house. On the way back, I sold the house. And then 30 days later, I was here.
And your wife was cool with all this?
Yeah, she was happy, yeah.
All right.
Oh. So
you guys are flexible.
Like
more power
I say,
to
I
you.
I don't stay with the rules.
You definitely do not, my
comes
friend.
In, you know, like, but.
Well, another rule would be if you're opening a restaurant, you have like a lifetime of experience working in restaurants. That's something that you didn't have. I mean,
no,
was there
not in a restaurant business? I mean, I worked in McDonald's in early '90s when I was in high school for about 2 months.
I suppose that counts, but there's a little bit of a gap in there. We're talking 30 years. How did you like? I mean, I know there's no doubt that you can cook. I mean, you said you grew up cooking. I'm sure that you have been cooking for your family at home all this time. But cooking at home and then cooking inside a restaurant are very, very different. I mean, you got to just cook so much more food. You have to, you know, you got to figure out all this stuff with customers and rules, regulations, how to design a kitchen, all this. Like, how did you level yourself up to the point where you felt comfortable not just cooking, but I can open a restaurant now?
I don't know. I just didn't think about it. I just went in. There's no going back.
Well, how did you teach yourself? You have to learn all these things.
I mean, in Armenian family, like, it's not like you cook one particular plate and you're done with. If you see, if it's, let's say, my birthday and 10 people come in, at home we cook for about 30 people. That's our style. So cooking bigger amounts, it's never been harder. Actually, it's easier to cook at the restaurant than I cook at home.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
In the restaurants, same meal, I can knock it out in about an hour and a half. At home, it might take me about 3 hours to do it. So we do have big events in our houses. Like I said, it's like amount of kebabs I prep every day. That might be in 1 hour birthday party or something. We might cook about the same amount of meat in single grill. Like, might have like 40 or 60 skewers going at once. And you can have like maybe you have 30 people coming in, but you count a couple of pounds of meat per person when we cook it. So,
but what about the non-cooking stuff, the hiring and training employees?
I was a business owner, so I was running my own business.
Okay,
I had my own company, so I knew how to deal with it. I mean, still difficult dealing with employees. I mean, no matter how much experience you have, but it's still, I mean, I don't know. I had to do it, and it just happened. I have no idea. Honestly, now you're telling me, I go like, yeah, I didn't even think about that. I just did it because it needed to be done.
You are a wild man, but you have made it work, and that is amazing. So when I know the restaurant opened August 9th, 2021. When did you move here to Omaha and find the space?
July 3rd, 2020, I was here.
Okay, so it took a little over a year.
Yeah, a little bit. By the time I kind of figured the stuff out, and I was waiting until the COVID's be over, and kind of we had a little bit of, you know, like a break. I go like, this is it. This is the time. To do it.
And then Omicron slides in.
Yeah, as soon as I signed the lease, then Omicron walked in. I go like, damn, this is going crazy. You know, like, and I couldn't find any construction people. Everything you see in the store, I built it myself.
Really?
Yeah, all the bars, the countertops, all the windows, the TVs, every single stuff. Even the hooking up all the equipment in the kitchen. Like, I had a couple of plumbers doing the waterworks, but most of the stuff I did it myself because I couldn't find people in that particular time. And it took me about 2 months on my own to build everything.
You are a talented, multifaceted man.
So that's the, like, that's what I say. You know, like, it's very difficult to come in a new state. In LA, it wouldn't have been a problem because I had a lot of connections with people. I could ask my friends, do you know anybody doing the paneling or anybody does the bar? I start searching people. I couldn't even find any metal workers or anybody. And I call and people give me like 2 months to arrive and give me like an estimate. And I go, no, I got to do it myself. So.
All right, people. So not only if you want great kebabs, if you need a carpenter or a sound technician or just like anything else,
yeah,
Arthur's your
man. Yeah, I'm here, yeah. But my passion is the foot. That's it.
Right. So obviously, you know, we kind of talked about with COVID, opening the restaurant didn't look exactly like you probably imagined it was going to. But still, you opened on August 9th, 2021. What do you remember most about that day? Like when you think of your first day being open, you've had this dream of owning your own restaurant for decades and it finally happens. Yeah. What memory pops to the front of your mind?
What the hell did I just do? And the thing is, honestly, like I didn't know, like I finished the construction. We got all the alcohol license. We set up everything. So it's refrigerators full of food. And now I have to open up a date. And I go like, how should I open? What should I do? Like, who should I call for a grand opening? I go, you know what? I'm just going to put a grand opening on top of the building and I'm just going to open up the door. And that's all I did. I didn't even do grand opening or soft opening. I didn't even know how to do that. And so just, it was kind of nervous. I'm like, okay. I went, I opened up the front door and I go like, I'm in a business.
Did people come?
Yeah. And actually there's a big Armenian community. Not the big Armenian. There's like some Armenian community in here. Like 20 people around from Lincoln and everywhere else. They just show up in front of the door to support since the day one. And I got overwhelmed, honestly. And I had made a lot of friends over like a year in Omaha. So everybody else showed up. It was pretty overwhelming. I almost passed out, you know, like running around. I don't know what to do. Like... new people and, you know, new concept, new menus. I have to sit down, create all the menus, never been done before, you know, a certain way, never run a restaurant. And everybody's panicking. My whole family's there supporting, and you know, anybody can handle something, like wash a lettuce, do this, cut something. The whole family's in there just like with the employees. And so I just pulled it off. After 1 week, I go like, yeah, getting a hang of it. And now it's like after about 2.5 years in the operation, well, it's getting better now. I'm not that much of an afraid like I was in the beginning, you know, like it was crazy. But it's paid off. It's growing. We got a really good response from the customers. And now what I get about the customers, they go like, I'm not going to tell anybody about this place. They go like, I don't want to come here and just sit and wait until... to get a table.
Those selfish, you know? People.
Yeah, and I go like,
they gotta
come
get
on,
the
guys.
Word out. Come
I go,
on.
If you guys don't come in, if you don't tell anybody, I'm going to end up shutting my doors down and then you guys not going to have anything to it.
Well, forget all those people. We're on a podcast now. We're telling everybody about it. So let's tease some more taste buds and get into a couple more dishes because there are some things that we have to discuss. First and foremost, you mentioned it earlier, but the pork belly.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of pork belly because... it can be cooked very, very well, but most places do it very poorly. No. And it's fatty, and it's gristly, and it's chewy, and I'm just like, I don't need this. Yeah. But yours is very tender, very succulent. It's like bacon to the nth degree. It's excellent. How do you take this meat that so many restaurants mess up and just make it the star of your menu?
First of all, the way I cut the meat, there's a certain way you gotta cut, kind of to expose the fat to the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we cook it, we season the fat as well too, because a lot of places they don't season the right way the pork belly. That's why when you eat the fat becomes kind of offensive because it doesn't have a salt flavor, it doesn't have the peppery stuff. My seasoning penetrates the fat too. It's not only penetrates the meat, the fat too. So, and the way we cook, most of the surface of the pork belly faces the fire. So the fat slowly renders. So we get rid of the 50% of the fat almost when we cook. So when you eat, you don't even feel it because even the fat tastes better because sometimes, like on a piece of steak, like when you have that outside cap with the fat on it, that's kind of my preferred part of the steak, honestly, versus the middle part. And if you season it right, that tastes really good. So that's why you don't feel that you're eating something out of ordinary, like fatty, because the fat itself is really nice flavor to it. And you don't understand it's a fat or it's a meat. That's where you get confused. The fat is there, but it's like gets crispier. Mm. It's like eating like a, obviously like a, almost like a chicharron type of thing.
I was going to say chicharron, yeah.
It's getting close to that, but not that crispy, but it gets crispy enough that you don't feel like it's fatty. And I don't know, I guess that's what makes it. You know, the style of cooking also makes a huge difference.
Well, you do it right. There are very few places that I would like recommend that someone go try the pork belly. And whew, that, I mean, it was after the lamb chops, I think that was my second favorite of all the meats. Yeah. I was blown away.
See, the thing is, like, I do like a pork belly, like slow roasted. If you don't have time to cook for 12 hours until clarify the fat to eat the pork belly, and our grill cooks that about 12 to 13 minutes. So this is the, if you don't have 12 hours, this is the next best thing you can have cooked really fast as a pork belly to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Now, next dish I got to ask you about is the appetizer platter. I mean, anyone who comes into Omaha Kebabs and doesn't get one of these is just doing it wrong. So this thing, it has hummus, eggplant dip, beet salad, tabbouleh, and cucumber dip. And you, what's fun about it is like, it allows you to make every bite different because you can have different meats. You can have, and you can mix them with the different condiments and the different sauces. You can have a bite of falafel and try it with stuff. You can have a bite of rice and meat and try it with the different sauces. And like people's personal preferences like can differ on which they like the best with each one. Why are those sauces and those condiments like such an important part of Armenian cuisine?
Because we don't use a lot of sauces in our cuisine. We don't have sauce for say like a ketchup or anything else. But you have to have some sort of the ingredients like appetizer that if you eat like a, you cannot eat just a plain rice on its own. You just want to soften it up a little bit so it gives you that nicer flavor. Because the rice on its own is really bland food. It's like unless you make a pilaf out of it and put any extra tons of ingredients in it. But because in a restaurant situation, it's very difficult to make certain pilafs that everybody loves. So you cannot have carrots in a, let's say if I put carrots and cilantro and mix it up through the rice to make it better flavor, not a lot of people going to like it. So appetizer, that's where our appetizer comes in, which it's kind of you eat a little bit of rice and a little bit of, let's say, eggplant dip. I like that combination. Like a cucumber dip with the rice is excellent. And if you have nothing else to it, you can just take a cucumber dip and mix it up with the rice. And that becomes like a meal on its own. You create your own pilaf, let's say. Those are your ingredients. And you can play with it. Like I have previous employees, they put like a cucumber dip and on top of it, they put tabbouleh. Mix it with the rice because there's a cilantro, parsley, all that stuff in there, tomatoes. And they go like, oh, this is the best way to eat. And they put a scoop of a beet salad on top of it. And they go like, they make like a dirty rice and just eat it like that with a piece of meat. And they're like, this is the best, you know, like, and everybody's creative.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite one is the eggplant dip out of all the stuff. Because it has the smokiness. And let's say if I eat beef tenderloin, if I dunk it in the eggplant dip, I don't know, I just like that combination a lot. And cucumber dip with the rice. Those are my kind of favorite go-tos.
Those are your two go-tos?
Yeah, if I do that. I like all of them. I mean, in my whole menu, everything I put it, it's the stuff I really like. I didn't put anything that I don't like to eat. If I didn't like to eat that food, I wouldn't put it in my menu. And when people ask me, like, oh, what's your favorite? I go, like, the whole menu. Yeah. And they don't believe it. And it is. Honestly, it is every single stuff in the menu I really like. And I eat every single stuff off of the menu on a daily basis. So And my favorite, like, I really like my pork loin because that's our traditional Armenian. We do eat a lot of pork loins, and that's my go-to. When I season it, I don't even wait until it marinates. When I season it, I put a couple of pieces in the morning, and I put a grilled tomato, and that's my breakfast.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so...
Now, that's how you know a chef is making good food, if he's eating his own stuff every single day.
Yeah, that's the... Yeah, I get tired of it. A lot of lunchtime, usually, I go eat in different restaurants, but mostly, yeah, because if I'm busy enough, I have to eat in my restaurant. No choice.
Now, I'm fascinated because in doing research for this, I mean, I was just looking at what are other Armenian dishes, and I apologize if I mispronounce any of these, but I was like, you were talking about the dolmas earlier. Yeah. Those are excellent, but I was also seeing other things that just looked delicious, like boreg and lamajo and mikado cake, like just thing after thing, yeah, on these lists. I was just like, whoa, these look awesome. But when you have, you know, a small restaurant, you have to have a honed in menu. You can't have a, you know, Cheesecake Factory menu with 18 pages.
I can't afford doing that.
So how do you, as you're designing your restaurant and you're like conceptualizing the menu, how do you decide these are the things that I really want to focus on? These things maybe I run as a special, maybe I do those in the future, but this is the basis of what I'm doing.
My base was the meats.
Right.
And whatever meats I can get in Omaha. Because we don't have much of a fresh vegetable market here. There's so many stuff I could cook differently that it's really nice. But vegetables are very hard to combine, get in Omaha. So that's why my menu, I go what's available in Omaha that I can put my hands on every day. Because it's every day you have to get that and marinate that. So I could have do a wider menu. But because we don't have it in Omaha, and that's why I keep the most available products to use. So I'd be able to at least have a menu, stable menu. I don't want the one thing I hate about the customers when they come in to tell them like, oh, I don't have this. And, you know, I've just put myself in their situation. They drive 20 minutes to come to your restaurant, let's say to eat lamb, and you tell them, you know what, I don't have lamb today. And that's the worst thing you can tell anybody going to a restaurant, because if I go to one place to eat, I'm already thinking about the food. How am I going to eat it? What sauces I'm going to use? What I'm going to drink with it? I'm already, by the time I get there, I already digested the food.
In your head?
In my head, yeah. So I've put myself in like that. So that's why I created a menu that I can comfortably be able to buy it from a different distributions. Especially like back in 2020, when there was a lot of issue with yogurt for making a cucumber dip.
Really?
Yeah. I ended up making my own yogurt with buckets to be able to make the cucumber dip. Otherwise, it would have been impossible.
Hey there, listeners. We'll get back to my guest in a minute, but I got to remind you one more time about Certified Piedmontese. With 2024 fully in swing, maybe one of your goals this year is to eat healthier. I have a great suggestion for you. Eat more beef. More specifically, I should say, more Certified Piedmontese beef. Certified Piedmontese has less fat and saturated fat, fewer calories, and more protein per ounce than prime grade beef without sacrificing any of that tender, juicy flavor that you love. In fact, Certified Piedmontese beef has fewer calories than salmon. This beef is so lean and tender that you don't have to sacrifice any flavor. Don't believe me? Just try Certified Piedmontese for yourself. Use my promo code HOPPEN, H-O-P-P-E-N, to save 25% off your order at CertifiedPiedmontese.com, and you'll see just how delicious these steaks, burgers, brisket, and more can be. Both your taste buds and your waistline will thank you. And now, back to my guest.
So where were we?
You were talking about making your own yogurt.
Yeah, so I was making my own yogurt for at least for a month, because I used to go to Costco, Sam's Club. I mean, you can buy it for about 6 ounce containers, but how many 6 ounce containers?
That feeds like three customers.
Yeah, and I make like a ton of stuff, so I go like, so those are the only reasons. Like my menu is like, I try to also keep it simple, because it's a new restaurant, not a lot of people know about it. I go, if I give them like a, like you said, Cheesecake Factory menu, I mean, they're going to be totally confused. And at least with this way, I can jumpstart and people know my cooking. And then they understand where we're coming from. And then we can expand a little bit of more different products. I do have a back menu, not the seafood menu we used to do. I mean, we still do sometimes when I'm not too busy. I'd be able to do, let's say, shrimp kebabs. I used to do scallop kebabs.
Ooh.
And do the lobster kebabs.
Oh, those are on.
But the thing is, like, because my clientele base have to be high enough for me to be able to get, like, a ton of seafood and just marinate it. Because there's every single stuff, you know, I have to marinate myself. And then I have to sell it everything out. And if I have 3-4 lobster tails not being sold over the weekend, that's, you know, how it's going to...
Yeah, you're taking the profit, the shorts.
Yeah, going to be out of the window. But I did have some, I do have some sometimes for the customers who know what I have. They ask me, if you have this, you can make that. And I, in the beginning, I used to do like a scallops, the lobsters. And actually, lobster is really good. I really like the, my shrimp and scallops are really good. But, you know, those are take time to prep it. And if you get really busy, there's no way I'd be able to make it.
Yeah.
But... this Friday, this coming Friday, I mean, after this, Lent is starting this Friday, so I might put shrimp on a menu. So anybody wants to eat shrimp and they want to know what it's really, how good it tastes, you know, they're more than welcome to stop by, you know.
Well, we have reservations for Friday, so I might have just had my menu decision made. Yeah. We'll see.
You did, yeah.
But you kind of touched on something that I'm really interested in that, yeah, if you just asked the average Omahan, what is Armenian food? Yeah. I think they would have no idea. They wouldn't be able to tell you anything. But if you said, what are chicken kebabs?
Yeah.
What's a gyro? What's hummus? They can tell you all those things. Yeah. So your menu, the things that you have on your menu is super approachable and very easy to understand, even for people like me who came in or are experiencing this cuisine for the first time. But then when we have your food, you're like, oh, this is unlike any pork belly I've had. This is unlike any chicken skewer I've ever had, because yes, it's explained to me in this way, but it's so much better than any other version I've had of it. Was that something that you had in mind, that I want to have relatable dishes for people so they can at least feel comfortable coming in, and then I hit them with my flavor and they're just, their socks get knocked off?
Because the thing is, like, the way our food is, like, if I said completely Mediterranean, then people expect different type of meats, which they use a lot of oregano and stuff in their marinades, which I don't have. And then what's going to happen? People are going to go like, oh, that wasn't even close to, let's say, Greek souvlaki, because it doesn't have oregano in their meat. And then they're going to give me like a one-star review. And then if I go Middle Eastern, then I have pork in the menu, which Middle Eastern restaurants don't have pork in the menu. And someone's going to come in, they're going to say, yeah, it's a Middle Eastern restaurant, it has pork in the menu. So there's no right way. I know the clash, in the original clash, I'm going to get myself into it if I name this or the other one. So I ended up naming Armenian, because in this way, Armenia was a huge country back in a couple of thousand years ago. We were from Mediterranean Sea all the way to the Caspian Sea. So the influence is there. And a lot of people in that area, Middle East area, Mediterranean area, they know who Armenians are. In the Eastern Hemisphere, everybody knows Armenia part. Western doesn't know about Armenia that much. So, but I had no other choice to put... I mean, I didn't want it... Not other choice. I had a lot of choices, but I wanted to put Armenian. So people come and experience our cuisine the way I cook it. So they understand my food. So they don't... try to compare my food to anything else in the region. They go, oh, let's say in Jordan, they were cooking it this way. It's supposed to be this way. No, this is Armenian. This is what I would cook in my house in Armenia. This is what we cook for our family. This is how we eat, Armenian families. And this is my food from my family to you guys to eat. And this food I feed to my family, to my kid every single day. And that's how much preparation and I put in the food, and how much I care about the healthiness of the food that my kid eats my food pretty much every day. And every employee eats in my restaurant. And my responsibility was to just give the people the food I really enjoy and give them a healthy alternative and give them maybe new kind of a fusion type of thing versus anything else. Fusion between Mediterranean to Middle Eastern and Armenian. So they can have a little bit of everything. We do have a halal, let's say beef loin, and the lamb chops are halal for the our Muslim customers. And we do have a Mediterranean option like a Greek salad and gyros. And also we have a little bit of and we have Armenian style kebabs, which we have the pork belly, pork loin, which is our primary cooking, and the ground beef, which is totally Armenian food. And just combine everything together. And at the end, I have like a, it's a small menu, but it's a enough variety for any picky person to eat.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, so I don't have to have pages of menu to go and like take the same combination and just... What they do, they go like the same chicken, they put 10 different sauces on it. And the sauces is pre-made most of the places and just put on top of it and they serve it to the customers. I didn't want it to do that.
Instead, you have the homemade sauces that the customers can choose
exactly,
themselves.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
Just put it together and you can, like we have about 6 appetizers,
mm-hmm.
so not counting the French fries. And we have like 6-7 meats and we have a hidden seafood menu if sometimes we'd be able to make it on a special days. So we grill a lot of stuff, and pretty much chicken, beef, pork belly, pork loin, lamb, beef loin. We have everything, beef tenderloin, actually. I say in my menu, beef loin. The only reason I served beef tenderloin since we opened, so it's a pretty much the fillet. But because it was so hard to find the meat constantly, I put beef loin. So just in case if I run out, I don't have to reprint the menu. So I go like,
smart
okay.
Man.
So, but now I since the day one though, I was able to get the beef tenderloin, and that's what we're serving since day one. But it says beef loin and kind of turns people off because you know they don't know what type of sirloin or something that you serve. But no, it's a beef tenderloin.
Gotcha.
So we do that, and I try to be like a very conservative about my menu and talking about how good it is and stuff like that. I always like, yeah, whatever, just like. I couldn't take like a personal compliments a lot, and I just get shy and I just go, I don't know what to do, you know, like that's kind of my things also, you know, like the weakness, so you can say. But overall, yeah, but the cooking part, yeah, there's no weakness there.
I got one last question for you. And what I think is so cool about Omaha Kebabs is myself, pretty much anybody else in Omaha, if not for you and your restaurant, would not experience Armenian cuisine.
Yeah.
Like, you are the one who is bringing this culture, this background, you know, this cooking that's so special to you. You're sharing it with us for the first time. And if not for you, we might not get a chance to experience it. How special is that for you?
I feel really happy about that. So that was my goal to... introduce people to Armenian cuisine and try to cook something different from burgers and fries and everything else, you know, just, and I like to see people understand the different cultural foods. I just want people to give us a chance to see how good it is. And I know every single person walking, they're not going to be disappointed from our food. And that makes me like super happy that I was able to do that. And overwhelming response I get from Omaha, which I really appreciate it. You know, like Omaha has been really kind to me and my restaurant. So I really appreciate people in Omaha just coming and eating our food and giving us a try, which is now sitting here talking to you out of from 3 years back from barely knowing the restaurant industry, how it's going to be. And now I'm sitting here and talking with you on your show, you know. It's like a short time, but how big of a steps I was able to come in, you know, like, and that makes me really humble, you know, like, I don't know what else to say.
You've come a long way in a short time, but man, you absolutely deserve it. Like, that quick ascension is well earned because your food is spectacular. thank you so much for coming on the show today and talking about it a little bit. This was a phenomenal conversation, and if we had more time, I've got a whole other list of questions to talk to you. Maybe we'll have to do a part two at some point. I don't know, but thank you, Arthur, for coming on. I really appreciate your time.
I really appreciate you coming and giving me good word for my business and inviting me here and to do this show. I'm really humbled by your gesture, and I'll see you soon, and we eat some more meat. And you don't mind if I call you one day and I say, Dan, can you stop by lunchtime? I got something special cooking. Would you mind stopping by eat in the kitchen?
I can't promise that I'll be able to make it every time, but I'll never be opposed to you being like, hey, I have awesome food.
Okay, I will do that.
All right.
One of these days.
Listeners, go to Omaha Kebabs. Trust me, this place is awesome. Get the lamb chops, get the pork belly, get the chicken, get the appetizer plate. Just get the whole menu. Just try it all. We didn't even talk about the falafel. Yeah. The falafel's great, too. Try whatever you want to try. You're going to have a good time. 108th and Blondo.
120th
and Blondo. 120th and Blondo.
In the North Park Shopping Center.
In the North Park Shopping Center. All right.
All right.
Omaha, as always,
thank you.
Thanks for eating with us.
Bye-bye.
A Huda Media Production.